February 25th, 2020, month-end meeting at 6:30, and regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
All set to go? All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to the audit meeting for the end of February, February 25th, 2020. And I think we've got, we still need a couple of signatures, Ruby, is that helpful?
Yeah, he's got a question.
No,
there's no one else. Did you want to sign something?
Didn't I already sign one?
As long as those are department head.
I can do that.
Have I already signed?
Did you sign that?
Yeah, those.
Okay. Well, let me get through to one item for discussion, and we can work on that. How's that? The only item this evening under discussion is a voucher for the local historian. At the organizational meeting, I didn't realize this, we have in the past only made one payment annually at the end of the year. We have a voucher from the new historian. And it would be my recommendation that we do a monthly payment because the work is being performed monthly. And my recommendation would be to move a resolution that specifies compensation will be made monthly to the local historian upon receipt of the monthly report, and the final payment for December will be the balance due from the annual amount appropriated at $1,000 upon receipt of the December report and the annual report. So what we would do is, because it's not even numbers, you take that $1,000 figure divided by essentially 12. Right now the amount is $83.33. That's why that verbiage would cover whatever the balance is for the month of December. We've already gotten, I think it's attached. Yes, we've gotten the monthly report for January. Board members should have a copy of that.
That's totally 1,000 divided by 12. Which, yeah. So that covers the whole year at a monthly rate of 83.33.
Okay, that's what I got.
Yeah.
And then December would be.
Yeah.
No, it works out 12 months, 83.33. Right. Okay.
All right.
Should rather have a monthly check versus having a yearly sum. Okay. Okay.
And I think the better way to do business, I guess I didn't realize that's the way it's always been done.
I didn't think it was until I came, around the time I got here, that we actually paid the historian.
I think we might have paid the historian.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was
okay.
I know we appropriated for it. Maybe we didn't pay it, but
okay.
It's been appropriated for it.
Okay.
So somebody would like to move that motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second it.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. So what do you need me to sign?
If you sign
as you are to need to resign.
Right.
So this is your discussion folder. We're all set on that.
JD has that.
Really, the discussion folder?
Getting there, Rudy.
If anybody else needs to sign, thank you.
It doesn't look like that.
You know I'm going to sign on this place, right?
Can I tell you, I saw all the cars there. I was dropping all the kids off down the road and coming back up through. And I was like, man, they're all busy there.
I know. Like, I'll give you with coronavirus to the down the road.
Did you want to split that in half?
I think so. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't want them all. I don't know.
Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
Would you sign it and I'll get him to sign it?
And if he says no?
That's the last one. Yes, I just signed above and just imagine. And I'll have him sign it. My catch.
So we voted on that. We voted on those. So anything else for audit committee?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
Okay.
Okay, you all set, Leanne?
Ready.
All right, we're going to get started. Welcome everyone to a regular meeting of the Borough Town Board for February 25th. And ask for a roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Here.
Councilman Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And ask that everyone please rise for a pledge of allegiance. Pledge of allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. First item, excuse me, on this evening's agenda is the approval of minutes. We have two sets from January 28th, 2020. First one is the audit meeting, and the second is the regular town board meeting. We'll take those separately because we have different members in attendance. So would someone like to move the meeting minutes for January 28th?
Okay, so I would move to accept the meetings from January 28th, both audit meeting and regular town board meeting.
And council members LeClaire and Noonan were absent.
I was absent from the audit meeting, and I was present at the regular town board meeting.
So we'll need a second on those minutes.
JD?
Second.
Thank you.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Abstained. So we have two abstentions.
Who was the other abstention,
Gina?
Gina?
And, Kyle.
Okay.
And so they are approved 3-0. The next set of minutes is for the regular town board meeting of January 28th. I'll entertain a motion to approve that.
I thought I just
did. We just did the
bundle
them
in
that
last one. That's why I was confused.
Oh,
okay.
You
bundled? Yeah, I did.
So
he did them both together, and then you had two abstentions.
Okay, well that works. And the efficiency will keep moving. And so moving on to, we had three sets of minutes for February 11th for 2020. The first one was a public hearing on Local Law 1 of 2020. The second one was later that evening, public hearing on Local Law 2 of 2020. And then the third was a public hearing on community development block. Would somebody like to move those?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion or corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. Set future meeting and workshops. I don't have any at this time. Further down the agenda, we'll be asking for a date in relation to opening proposals for the RFPs for IT services. So that takes us to item 3 on this evening's agenda, which is Local Law 1 of 2020, which is the moratorium on ground-mounted solar systems. And first order of business, Council?
Yes, this is the extension of the moratorium for 6 months. We called the public hearing at the last meeting, closed the public hearing. Because this is a moratorium, it is a type 2 action and therefore exempt under SEAKER. So you don't need to go through any of the SEAKER process. So you all have in front of you where you were provided with a draft resolution for approval, and if it is the board's intent to adopt that, it can do so.
Thank you. And the clerk has that. Would you like to read that?
Sure.
Let me back up. Does the board want to move forward with that at this time?
Yes.
Okay.
Again, yeah.
All right, so would you please read the
subject, adoption of Local Law 1 of 2020, extending the moratorium of Chapter 75, a temporary moratorium on permits for and installation of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems within the town of Moreau to the code of the town of Moreau. Whereas the town board of the town of Moreau is considering the adoption of Local Law Number 1 of 2020, which would, if adopted, would extend Chapter 75, a temporary moratorium on permits for an installation of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems within the town of Moreau to the code of the town of Moreau for an additional 180 days. And whereas the board finds that in order to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of town residents and property owners, and in the best interest of the future of the town, and in particular to permit the town the necessary time in which to review its current zoning code in conjunction with the recently adopted comprehensive land use plan, it is necessary to extend Chapter 75, a temporary moratorium on permits for an installation of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems within the town of Moreau to the code of the town of Moreau for an additional 180 days. And whereas the board finds that the adoption of Local Law Number 1 of 2020 is in the best interests of the town and is necessary to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the residents and property owners, and in particular to permit the town the necessary time in which to review its current zoning in conjunction with the recently adopted comprehensive land use plan. And whereas the board finds that the adoption of Local Law Number 1 of 2020 is a necessary and proper exercise of authority by the board, and whereas the authority for the enactment of this local law is found in Section 10(1)(i) of the Municipal Home Rule Law, and whereas pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law, a public hearing on the proposed adoption of Local Law Number 1 was properly noticed in the newspaper and posted and was duly conducted on February 11, 2020 at 6 p.m. at the Town Municipal Complex. And whereas the board has considered the public comments made at the public hearing, and whereas pursuant to 6 NYCRR 617.5C36, the adoption of Local Law 1 of 2020 as a moratorium is a type 2 action not subject to SEAKER. And whereas after thorough review and deliberation, the board proposes to adopt Local Law Number 1 of 2020. And whereas the Saratoga County Planning Board has issued a determination of no significant countywide or intercommunity impact associated with this moratorium. And whereas the attorney for the town has prepared the necessary documents for filing with this local law with the Secretary of State, including the text of the law itself. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the board hereby adopts Local Law Number 1 of 2020, annexed hereto, which extends Chapter 75, a temporary moratorium on permits for an installation of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems within the town of Moreau to the code of the town of Moreau for a period of 180 days. And be it further resolved that the board hereby authorizes the town clerk and the attorney for the town to make such minor modifications to the local law documents as they deem necessary, and thereafter are directed to execute and file the said documents as required by law, and to take all the necessary action for the promulgation thereof.
Thank you, Leanne. Actually, if somebody would like to move that and second the under discussion, I do have some comments for that.
So I do we need a second before we make comments?
Yeah, then we'll go into discussion.
All right, second.
One of the things that we heard when we held the public hearing on this proposed local law for an extension on the moratorium is there was a lot of concern on the length of the moratorium. And so this local law would be for a maximum of 180 days. It doesn't mean that the town board will need 180 days. And with that, I would actually like council just to give us a brief update before we vote on it this evening.
Sure. Originally, let me back up. So currently, the zoning code only permits these kind of solar arrays in the industrial zone. So as of now, they're not even permitted anywhere. And they're not permitted by special use. So they're just not permitted, moratorium or not. The moratorium puts a hold on it, and the legislature and the courts like moratoriums, temporary moratoriums, to allow boards to make the proper decisions and to really look at their comp plan and to determine whether your solar law works with the comp plan. I was down in New York City last weekend at the Association of Towns and sat in on a couple different solar law cases having to do with Article 10 and things of that nature. And am in contact with some other attorneys that do this solely for a living. We are working on language for a solar law, but things are changing daily in the state with NYSERDA and everything. So the town really needs to look at the draft law and verify that it's what the town wants and just move forward that way. I think at this point it can easily be done less than 6 months, but that at this point, something happened even last week down there, I don't know the specifics in Albany, but there's just concerns out there that the solar laws that are in effect in other communities may not be the best for this community, so we want to make sure that we all look at this community. Does that work for you?
It works for me, thank you. I know some board members wanted to comment. We'll start with council member.
Reading over my notes from the public hearing we had, you know, we had people on both sides of the aisle here on this topic, and, you know, I think the idea here is to be as balanced as possible. I, too, am apprehensive of a 180-day or 6-month window on this, a whole period, you know, because we've already had 6 months, but I'm confident, having heard the notes from the council and discussion with you, Mr. Supervisor, that we are going to have something in effect before the six-month window period. Again, if anything, 6 months is a long time to go with another moratorium.
I would concur with that. No, those are some of my same thoughts. That, you know, and if you want smart growth within the community, we have ideas about where we think things should be. We'd like to be able to have control over that with the zoning. And as such, I know we need to look at it. If this gets us moving in that direction, I'm all for it. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone?
Yeah.
Council member.
I'm looking at this. I wasn't here for the last 6 months, so I don't know what procedures or what you did, if you had workshops, if there was any organized like committee set up to review this for the zoning boards and stuff like that. I have no idea. I'm just wondering what our short-term plan is. I think it's got to be looked at sooner rather than later. But I just want to alert, are we going to have workshops? Are we going to be working with the zoning people on the zoning board? Are we working with the labor court? Is that the direction we're going?
So I have been working with council as well as our zoning administrator. There's a lot of ideas floating around. We've asked council to formalize that and draft local law. We're working through that process. And I'd like to get that before the board as soon as possible for input from the board members. Once the board feels comfortable with where we are with that, I'd like to have a workshop where the public can participate in that, even though they will legally have an opportunity to do that well in advance before we adopt the local law. If the board still chooses to go that far, I think that's our goal, to have something in place. That's it. So we have any other discussion?
We have a motion and a second.
We know it's for 180 days. Is there a way to make it 90 days without anything to do?
Well, the public hearing is on 180 days.
Okay, right. I got it. So it's yes or no.
The board can, if we...
If we get this set and, right...
Yeah, what will happen...
The more terms goes right.
I mean, if we have a draft ready for public comment and adoption, we can rescind the moratorium upon its adoption.
Yes.
So...
Okay.
So basically we have up to 180 days.
Okay. It
doesn't say if we have to go on.
Okay.
Any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. The item 4 on this evening's agenda is proposed local law number 2 of 2020, which is a moratorium on multifamily dwellings. I believe there is a resolution before the clerk. She would read that in the record, please.
Subject: adoption of local law number 2 of 2020, extending chapter 76, a temporary moratorium on building permits or site plan review or other review of multifamily, multiple family, and two family dwelling residential projects within the town of Moreau to the code of the town of Moreau for additional time. Whereas the town board of the town of Moreau is considering the adoption of local law number 2 of 2020, which would, if adopted, would extend Chapter 76, a temporary moratorium on building permits or site plan review or other review of multifamily, multiple family, and two family dwelling residential projects within the town of Moreau to the code of the town of Moreau for an additional 180 days. And whereas the board finds that in order to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of town residents and property owners and in the best interest of the future of the town, and in particular to permit the town the necessary time in which to review its current zoning code in conjunction with the recently adopted comprehensive land use plan, it is necessary to extend Chapter 76, a temporary moratorium on building permits or site plan review or other review of multifamily, multiple family, and two family dwelling residential projects within the town of Moreau to the code of the town of Moreau for an additional 180 days. And whereas the board finds that the adoption of local law number 2 of 2020 is in the best interests of the town and is necessary to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the residents and property owners, and in particular to permit the town the necessary time in which to review its current zoning in conjunction with the recently adopted comprehensive land use plan. And whereas the board finds that the adoption of local law number 2 of 2020 is a necessary and proper exercise of authority by the board, and whereas the authority for the enactment of this local law is found in Section 10(1)(i) of the Municipal Home Rule Law, and whereas pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law, a public hearing on the proposed adoption of Local Law Number 1 was properly noticed in the newspaper and posted and was duly conducted on February 11, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. at the Town Municipal Complex. I believe that was supposed to say Local Law 2 in that paragraph, so I'm going to change that as we go. Whereas the board has considered the public comments made at the public hearing, and whereas pursuant to 6 NYCRR 617.5 C36, the adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2020 as a moratorium is a Type 2 action not subject to SEAKER, and whereas after thorough review and deliberation, the board proposes to adopt Local Law Number 2 of 2020, and whereas the Saratoga County Planning Board has issued a determination of no significant countywide or intercommunity impact associated with this moratorium, and whereas the attorney for the town has prepared the necessary documents for filing this local law with the Secretary of State, including the text of the law itself, now therefore be it resolved that the board hereby adopts Local Law Number 2 of 2020, Annexed Tier 2, which extends Chapter 76, a temporary moratorium on building permits or site plan review or other review of multifamily, multiple family, and two-family dwelling residential projects within the town of Moreau to the code of the town of Moreau for a period of 180 days. And be it further resolved that the board hereby authorizes the town clerk and the attorney for the town to make such minor modifications to the local law documents as they deem necessary, and thereafter are directed to execute and file the said documents as required by law and to take all the necessary action for the promulgation thereof.
Thank you very much, Leanne. Would someone like to move that?
Second.
And a second. Discussion. I just want to add for public's benefit why we're doing this again. The town is engaged in updating or reviewing, I should say, our local zoning ordinances townwide. And as part of that, board members, I particularly have been here, the longest, have heard over the years comments such as, the town of Moreau has done more than its fair share of establishing apartments for residents in our community, and we really need to take a serious look at that. One of the ways that we can do that is to put a moratorium in place as we work through our update to our zoning. And by having that in place, we can actually update that particular part of the code if we so choose by not allowing additional construction of multifamily buildings without, you know, a closer look at where they're going. So this moratorium will allow us to have that time to get there. Again, it's the same as the previously adopted moratorium. It's for a period of 180 days. If we do something prior to that, we can lift the moratorium certainly sooner than that. But I think it's something that's important. I can tell you that it's something that many residents have been supportive of for some time over the years, and you know, this board is moving forward and accommodating their wishes and looking more carefully at placing the zone in the town. So with that, I'll open up for other discussion for the council member.
And I think, like with the last one, I believe we discussed that this doesn't still, if someone wanted to seek a variance or a permit right in front of the zoning or planning board, they could still present their case in special projects. It could still be
Member council.
There is a variance procedure in there that would come to the town board to determine whether or not to grant the variance.
Yeah,
So that's where I misspoke. I apologize. But so ultimately, this is. This resolution for this moratorium certainly doesn't stop someone if they want to come and come to our board for a variance as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments? I would just add before we vote on it, one of the things that the comprehensive land use plan echoed was protection of our agricultural district. And one of the ways that we can do that is by carefully adjusting our zoning ordinances to do everything we can to support and encourage our farm families to continue farming. And I would be in support of, as part of this process of drafting the new zoning requirements, that they are actually prohibited in the ag district. Because the quickest way to cause the demise of agricultural land is to get municipal infrastructure in there and allow for increased density with housing. And so that's one of the things that I'll be looking for as we move forward in drafting or updating local ordinances. So with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Good.
You good?
Yeah, I am.
Item 5 on this evening's agenda is the annual South High Marathon Dance. As is customary, the town board offers a proclamation which is signed by all the board members, and I have the distinct pleasure of presenting it at the opening of the marathon dance. And I would ask that the clerk read the proclamation into the record before we approve it.
Whereas for the 43rd consecutive year, the South Glens Falls High School is hosting the annual South High Marathon Dance to raise funds to benefit local charities, organizations, and individuals in the community and Tri-County area. And whereas the first South High Marathon Dance was held in 1978 with about 50 dancers participating and has grown to an astounding 800-plus dance participants, which is more than 80% of the students in the South Glens Falls Central School District. And whereas the students will dance for an amazing 28 hours over a two-day period, and whereas the first marathon dance raised $1,500, and this amount has increased to $837,859, the amount raised in 2019, for a grand total over the years of over $8.1 million. And whereas the South High Marathon Dance has donated money to individuals in need of handicapped accessible vans, organ transplants, and motorized wheelchairs, and helped send terminally ill community members on vacations with their families, helped pay medical expenses, purchase gifts for needy children at Christmas time, and helped purchase major medical equipment for a local hospital. And whereas over the last 42 years, the funds raised by the Marathon Dance have been distributed to over 530 beneficiaries within the village of South Glens Falls, the town of Moreau, and surrounding communities. And whereas the recipients chosen to benefit from the proceeds raised by this year's dance include Charles Aiken, Ryan Alger, Jennifer Annis, Lillian Baker, Janet Baker Pratt, David Bennett, Alice Charette, Esme Clark, Connie Hines, Nolan Jaycox, Isabella Lauzen, Milana Lefever, Joshua McCain, Kelsey Murphy, Robert Murray, Robin Newman, Nick Clark, Stephanie Rosa, Jennifer Ryan, Danita Short, Linda Tucker, Royce Yunes, Adopt a Soldier, Alzheimer's Association, Angel Names Association, Buddy's Blankets and Bears, Captain Community Human Services, Dysautonomia International, Food for Thought, Gateway House of Peace, Habitat for Humanity, Kelly's Angels, Inc., Moreau Community Center, Open Door Mission, Rebuilding Together Saratoga County, Upstate New York Autism Alliance, Veterans and Community Housing. And whereas the dance marathon has become a tradition which brings our entire community together in an emotional, exciting, and gratifying experience that will stay with those involved for the rest of their lives. And whereas the Moreau Town Board extends their sincere gratitude to all those involved, and especially to the students who devote their time and effort to making the marathon dance a success. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Moreau Town Board hereby proclaims March 6th and 7th, 2020, South High Marathon Dance Weekend as a tribute to the support and generosity of our community.
Thank you very much, Leanne. Yes, there's no question that this is probably the premier event in South Glens Falls, Town of Moreau, that brings the entire community together in unison for a fantastic cause. This is something that you know, when you hear other schools across the state that are doing this, they all refer back to the success of the South High Marathon Dance. So it's something that is often imitated but never duplicated. So it's a credit to students and the members of our community to make this such a successful event. So I think that, do you have the original for signature, or is it on there?
I do. I have it here. It's all signed.
Okay. If you want to, we'll catch the board member while they're here this evening.
It's
I
all
signed.
Oh, it's
all signed.
Yep.
Fantastic. So we'll need a motion to adopt the proclamation.
Motion to adopt the proclamation.
Seconded.
Any other comments or discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Next item on the agenda is the transfer station this evening. We have been working to essentially get the pump working again in the effluent collection area for the compactor. At a previous board meeting, Galusha was authorized to go down, take a look at what needs to be done, present a proposal to us. The board members should have a copy of that proposal before them this evening. And with that proposal, it's going to take 2 days with two men working 8 hours each day. And I'll just read the description of the proposal that was made out to Ted Mansour, our transfer station supervisor. It says, Ted, based on the initial investigation of the pump at the transfer station, we have concluded that the pump is no longer operational. Day one, we will send two men 8 hours each portal to the site, enter the pit to pull a pipe due to hard plumbing, replace with a new pump and plumb it. Since there is currently no alarm panel, we will install a new simplex control alarm panel with a supply cable from the panel to the pit. The existing pump will be brought back to the shop for repair and evaluation. Day two, they'll send one man to install a tank alert high water alarm beacon, alarm in a location of our choosing, where it can be heard and connected to a simplex alarm panel in conjunction with the alarm on the panel. They'll install a tank alert high water alarm beacon, alarm for holding tank, as well as with a float in the tank wired to normally open contacts. The proposal is $10,594. They indicate that additional time to unforeseen conditions will be filled on a T&M basis. If we require additional information, please feel free to contact our office. Sincerely, Drew Stevens, Pollution Sons LLC. My recommendation would be to move forward with the repair. This funding would come out of account TS8160.4, which is the contractual account. As of January 31st, it has a balance of $82,174.96.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just think the public should know this isn't paid with taxpayers' dollars. This is paid with user fees that he sets on the side of the chair so that there is money there in case there's something like this that you need to be done. So it's not paid. You're only paying for it if you use the transfer station. If you use the transfer station, it's a cost to you.
Good point. Anything else?
Well, at one point we discussed setting up with a reserve fund for other repairs that might be coming up.
Right.
That doesn't have really anything to do with this, other than we need to be addressing that in the near future. So the
revenues have shifted from being in the red to the black over the past couple of years. And with that, that is with the intent of establishing a capital reserve program. We know the compactor won't last forever. I was actually on the board when we purchased the one down there, brand new. I think it was close to over $60,000 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a big expense. That's something that you certainly don't want to, you know, spring on anyone last minute. So we did talk at budget time about establishing capital reserve. I'd like to do that as well.
I agree.
And this would be included in the capital reserve.
Yeah, okay. Good.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The next item on this evening's agenda I have listed as the Southwest Falls Fire Company, and it's in relation to the polling location. Back in October, the town received a letter from the Southwest Falls Fire Company dated October 16, 2019. It was received in my office via certified mail. It cost us $6.30 to get it here. And in that letter, said to whom it may concern, beginning in January 2020, and in accordance with the Southwest Falls Fire Company rules and regulations for use of all hall rentals, all organizations and businesses included, including the Board of Elections, must fill out a contract for the use of the hall with the Southwest Falls Fire Company and pay the hall rental fees with the deposit. Now, I'm not sure if they were aware at the time when they sent that, that because they have a not-for-profit status, therefore the building is exempt from taxation. Under state election law, it must be used whenever possible as a polling place. And in addition, further on down in the election law, it states that any funding that they receive, whether it be a grant, loan, for the construction, renovation, rehabilitation, or operation of the building, it, as it relates to their exemption, could be in jeopardy if they were not to allow the building to be used for the purpose of elections. If the board recalls, the town was instrumental in sponsoring $100,000 grant for improvements to the building down there, which is currently working its way through the legislative process. And I'm not sure why, number one, why the town received a letter certified mail when I know I open all the mail I receive and I read it. It's not a good use of taxpayer resources, since that money that the town funds operations of the fire district is paid for with sales tax revenue. Then as recently as February 19th of last week, the town clerk received additional correspondence from Southwest Falls Fire Company. And I will read from it. Dear Leanne, we are writing you this letter to inform you that the Southwest Falls Fire Company met for a special meeting on February 19, 2020 to discuss the hall usage for the upcoming elections. The company has approved the following dates and times to include 1 hour for setup and 1 hour for cleanup. First day is April 28, 2020 from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's the presidential primary date. The next day is June 23, 2020, which is the state primary date. And the third date is November 3rd, which is the general election from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. During the use of the hall, the Southwest Falls Company will not be responsible for setup or takedown of tables and chairs, and there will not be any access to the kitchen or supplies. Kitchen doors will be locked during these times. There will be garbage bags and cleaning supplies provided outside the kitchen and in the hallway. We're asking that you please empty all the garbages, including the bathrooms, and place the garbage in receptacles outside the rear entrance by the kitchen. Please return the hall to its original condition. For any correspondence for the hall, please contact Ken Jacox directly, or he gave me a cell phone number, or actually Liam's cell phone number, or by email. This will include drop-off and pick-up of any election equipment questions or concerns with the hall. Sincerely, the Southwest Falls Fire Company Board. Again, that was a letter which the clerk received, I believe, certified mail.
Yes.
So I expect that it probably costs the same. Not sure why that's occurring. But I'm troubled by two things. First of all, the town has gone out of its way to work to secure a $100,000 grant for them, number one. Number two, I'm troubled by the fact that our election poll workers, and you've all seen them if you vote in our town, would be responsible for setting up and taking down the tables. Makes no sense. So I'm hoping that we'll have continued dialogue where we can rectify the situation and we can return to the ways of the past where we had a fantastic working relationship with the fire company when it came to the issue of elections. So I'll keep it posted.
Thank you.
It's
shocking to get those letters.
As I think you've made me the liaison of the fire company, is that something you want me to look into? Or are you currently...
Sure. No, I don't want to step on your toes.
I
have spoken by phone as recently as 20 minutes ago by email with the president of the company.
Okay.
But if you'd like to do that offline.
All right.
Next item on the agenda is a managed services for IT and telecommunications. At budget time, the board was very much in support of putting out those services to an RFP. I'd like agreement from the board that we continue, we still want to do that, for professional services. I will put together a letter. As I indicated earlier in the meeting, I would like to establish the date of March 20th at 3 p.m. for the final date and time for receipt of any and all RFPs in relation to the managed services for IT and communications. If that works for everybody.
Yes.
So I'll draft that up and get you a copy of it when we send it out.
Okay.
And we don't need a resolution on that, but...
No.
Next item on the agenda are Highway Department requests, agenda item 9. First one I have from the Highway Superintendent is a request for purchase of bulk order of air, oil, and fuel filters for the highway garage. Paul is asking that he has approval to purchase from Muller Auto Parts in Hudson Falls in the amount of $2,100. And this would come from account DB5130.492, which has a current balance as of February 2nd of $35,493.42. Typically, we, as part of the town's procurement policy, we always get three quotes. But I know there's extenuating circumstances there, and I'll just ask the highway superintendent to comment on that.
Yes, this is a yearly process that they do. They usually give us a month to look into it, but we just got it last week. For some reason, they didn't get it out to everybody in town. The 50% promotion isn't off of retail. It's off of our everyday price. So if we're paying $35 for a filter, we're only going to be paying half of that. And this is our bulk. 80% of our filters we get for the entire year. The other 20% is stuff that we have to get directly from New Holland, Caterpillar, Freightliner, specialty filters that nobody else carries yet. So this is one of the things we've been doing for the last 13 years with this process here.
My recommendation would be to authorize the purchase.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Next item under Highway is a request to open a PO for Rocksoft for the 2020 budget year. The vendor is Morton Salt, Palatine, Illinois. Paul would like to open an amount of $45,000. This is under county contract number 18-PWS-NR. And this would come from account DB 5142.490, which has a balance as of February 2nd of $91,443.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Next item under the Highway Department request. We should have a memo from Paul requesting approval to purchase road stripe paint for the 2020 budget year. And we purchased that from the county, but we do have to give them a confirmation that we are going to move forward with painting the roads that are currently painted in the town. And we also have to provide the total mileage. And so the mileage of roads that would be painted is 83 miles of town roads. And we have budgeted $39,500 in account A, 10.499 to cover this item. I know last year, through no fault of the town's, I think the cost was a little bit higher than that as a result.
No, but last year the problem was they were getting their paint from China and they got cut off. They didn't have the paint, so we only got certain roads painted last year.
So we didn't have as much.
Then this year they've got a new supplier of paint. It's being new in the same specs. They want to get the paint ordered.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Just want to make the board aware also under Highway that we received, actually Paul received a notice from Michelle Ross, who is an outside contractor, that she will be no longer cleaning the Highway garage as of March 1st. But she did offer to continue stripping and waxing the floors if we want her to. So if you have a recommendation on what you'd like to do next down there, let the board know.
Oh, yeah. We're in the process of trying to find somebody that would come in for the 2.5 hours a week.
Okay.
To clean.
We can do that. I can, if there's an interest with the board, I can reach out to the individual who cleans here at Town Hall and the Old Town Hall.
It's kind of wild, maybe 6 months since he expressed an interest.
If it's something he's interested in.
All right, so I will reach out to him and report back to Paul.
Thank you.
Also on under Highway, I wanted to update the board regarding some of the ongoing issues that have been reported to the board with traffic on Old West Road. As I indicated at the last board meeting, I was going to be meeting with the Adirondack Glens Falls Transportation Council as part of the regular council meeting, which Supervisor of Town and Road was a part of. And I spoke with Aaron Frankenfeld, who will be, at our request, assisting us with a traffic study as far as traffic counts are concerned, both on Washburn Road and Old West Road. We can't do it now because of the snow plows, potential for snow plows on the roads. We don't want their equipment getting ripped up across the road, but they will be able to determine traffic flow
And they'll also be able to discern between whether they're tractor trailers or personal vehicles. So as the weather changes, we will give them the go ahead to do that and just get definitive information on what's going on the road. Also under highway, I think this is the last item I have. And another challenging issue that we have at the highway garage, as the board is aware, for the public benefit, we are moving forward with repairing the roof to the new highway garage, actually replacing it. As part of that replacement, it requires an HVAC modification to eliminate some of the condensation issues that is contributing to the problems down there. So I've had a pre-construction meeting with the highway superintendent, the engineers, the people doing the work. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I received a call yesterday that another issue had arisen. When we did the heater installations, when the garage was first constructed, we had 400 MVH heaters in the garage, and they were serviced from Route 9 with a natural gas line that was 1 inch in diameter. And with the spec upgrades to the AC system, they will be increasing the MVH by another 2,400 MVHs, so that'll bring the total MVH to 2,800 to make sure the garage HVAC works appropriately. And the phraseology that was used in our conversation from our engineer is that when the first system was put in, the 1 inch line was severely undersized. So we don't have a big enough gas line to do what we need to do. So the engineer reached out to National Grid. National Grid provided an estimate of $10,000 to $20,000 to run the proper size line from the road to the meter, including hook up to the meter. I asked our engineer to go back to National Grid to get us a price to see if the town did the actual work itself minus the hookup to the meter and the line, if we could get it, you know, how much that price would be reduced. I will have that information prior to the March 10th board meeting, hopefully for the resolution. In the meantime, I told them to continue moving forward to do the work, the installs, so that you know, we're ready to go when we do have that change in alignment. But it's very challenging to take two steps forward and one back as we continue to address many of these issues from the past. Was there anything else under highway?
Nothing. You just hit me with that.
Oh, you weren't aware of that?
No.
Oh, sorry. I just got the call. Yes,
last I was aware they were coming tomorrow. Sir.
So, they're still coming. They want to know if we want to hold off. And they, all right. So, that's highway. Recreation Department. The board members should have copies of two proposed, I should say, draft contracts for one is for Southlands Falls girls softball, the other is for Southlands Falls youth baseball. And I have to commend our rec leader as well as members of the recreation committee for working in unison with the groups to come up with a viable contract, which I think is not only benefits the groups, but also is in the best interest of the town. We have those draft proposals before us. I think all board members have had a chance to comment on them. And I think at this time, if the board is ready, I would seek a motion authorizing the supervisor to sign the contract. I know council reviewed them, and it's fine with them. This is for a five-year period. I think that'll provide for continuity across different boards over the years. And, you know, all our boards are changing, so are the boards for these organizations. I think it would be beneficial to have a contract for that duration.
For I do too. I agree. Not always coming to this contract. You did a wonderful job. I hope to help with everything you did and bringing things back to us. And thank you very much for your knowledge. I think this is great.
Thanks for your time on this, Peter. So I would make a motion. Do you want both under one, or
yeah.
I would make a motion to accept or authorize you to sign the contracts with the South Plains Falls Girls Softball as well as the South Plains Falls Youth Baseball League. And
second,
the contract is written at this time.
Second, any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Before we leave recreation, just want to comment. We had, I know the board members are aware, we had, for lack of a better word, a trespasser down at our rec facilities on a snowmobile. We actually have monitoring going on down there. Which is able to capture photographs in key areas. We were able to determine who the trespasser was, and the sheriff. I met with the sheriff as well as the rec leader. I know that individual was paid a visit, and hopefully. But that type of activity will be minimized as the word gets out that we are monitoring the rec park for trespassing. So good work on that. Anything else on the rec?
No.
Next item on this evening's agenda is the rail feasibility study. As I indicated at the last board meeting, I was going to be asking the Saratoga County IDA to fund a rail feasibility study. The board was unanimous in adopting a resolution saying that we supported the IDA funding the study. And I personally carried that that resolution to the IDA meeting last Monday. I'm sorry, last Tuesday. And there was a good discussion that went on. And in the end, the Saratoga County IDA unanimously endorsed funding $14,820. For the rail feasibility study, which will be conducted by Des Moines Associates out of Saratoga Springs. I have a copy of that proposal. If anybody would like to see it, certainly get it, ask Lisa to get it in the mailboxes. But I also want to thank, on behalf of the town, the IDA, for funding that money, because it's money that has not come out of the town's pocket, so to speak. And I'm not even aware of any other instance where the county IDA has funded anything here in the town of Monroe. So it's good that we have an excellent working partnership with the IDA. They understand what we're trying to do here and they're fully supportive of it. So thanks again to the IDA.
Thank you for your share in this. We have had a relationship like this before. Thank you. Thank you.
Under supervisor items, I just want to add a couple of things. It was with great sadness that I announced the passing of a former town employee, Helen M., most widely known as Honey Morrissey Potter, who passed away February 16th, I believe, There was a gathering tonight, which I was unable to attend due to prior commitments, but I know that some board members did attend. I know my secretary did to express the town's condolences. She was a remarkable lady. She worked for the town for just about 25 years. Most of that time was spent at the town landfill. In the later years, when she backed away from that responsibility, she remained engaged as a crossing guard. And I would just like to read from her obituary because I think it's important and I'd like to have it included in the record. Honey was a graduate of St. Mary's Academy and worked at Paradise Lake Resort during the 1950s and early 1960s. After that, she focused on her most valuable position, which was that of mom. She never missed a ball game and was her children's biggest fan. Even as they went into coaching high school sports, she was always their biggest cheerleader. After the passing of her husband, she returned to work for the town of Moreau, serving as a cashier at the town transfer station, and she also supervised students in the after-school bowling program, and most definitely the favorite her favorite job ever was serving as a crossing guard for the elementary children, which she did up until the last day of school this past June. Honey was a communicant of St. Michael's Church in South Bend Falls. She was a loyal and dedicated member of the Rosary Altar Society for years, and it was Honey's great honor and pleasure to decorate the church and the altar for all special occasions. She also volunteered working bingo at St. Michael's. Honey was famously known for her sharp dress appearance and her incredibly kind heart. It has always been her strong faith in God that has guided her. And again, her calling hours were this evening. It's a remarkable individual that made a major contribution here in our community and impacted a lot of lives. So, I think
absolutely.
And so we will, the town board will be recognizing her with a proclamation in March. And hopefully we can have a family here for that.
She always had a great smile, didn't she?
Yes, sir. And one of the reasons I was unable to attend, I was actually asked to speak at the grand opening of the Hudson Headwaters Health Network. Here on Route 9, the president of Glens Falls Hospital, as well as the CEO, Dr. Slingerland, made remarks, and I expressed our appreciation and excitement for having them make that kind of investment, $11 million in our community, especially at the gateway of our community. It's a fantastic building. Was well attended, had good coverage from the media outlets, and I was pleased to be able to ask to be asked to be able to do that. I think that's all I have. Under supervisors' items, committee report. Does anyone have a committee report?
It's not necessarily a committee report, but. Gina and I and the water committee, we have to get together. We had just heard from the village that our one-year agreement on the water, selling the water, when they go into needing our water when their water tower is being repaired, that 1 year is up, so we have to kind of talk with them again. They are still like to continue with the same terms of the agreement. Everyone on their side is on board with that, but we should get together and talk about
the expiration.
I don't know the exact date on that. It's coming up in the next few months.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. If you're all okay with that, council, we will modify that for current year.
Yes.
Does the board want to do another? How long do you want the terms for? Another year?
I don't have a problem. problem with a year. They don't have a problem with a year as long as we continue to agree that this is a good relationship and we can continue it going forward. Same terms is what they were. If we don't need to meet out, we can just agree that that's what we're going to do.
Okay. Well, they're residents. Right. Residents are residents of the town road. We want to make sure adequately supply the water.
Okay. And they're getting closer to being able to access the water. I think it's in quarter 32 on Wayne Street. Is that right, Jesse?
He's with me. Jesse. No, it's not. So
he's right.
Apparently, it wasn't exciting enough.
I get this all day long, so. All right, move on.
Any other committee reports?
Yeah, I've got the reference.
Which committee?
On the Highway Committee.
Okay.
I have, matter of fact, before I even took the oath of office, which is told by some people about the Toronto and West Road as well. And I'm trying to advocate to rectify some of the situations. Have trucks and tractor trailer going in the neighborhood and stuff. I reported at the last meeting that I set up a meeting. I discovered by talking to some other elected officials in the area that our town belonged to the association, the Transportation Association, and I'm the Transportation Association. So I announced last meeting that their last meeting, January 11th, that I called and set up a meeting with Mr. Frankenfeld, who's the director over there, and explained to him the situation, what we had going on in town. And he said he'd be more than happy to sit down with me and go over a few things. So I made an appointment to go see him, and I invited John, Mr. Hogan, to go with me as well to discuss the situation, maybe some ideas that could give us some guidance as far as taking care of things in Old West Road. Todd did say to me that he was going to be meeting with him and see if I wanted him to bring anything up. And I said no at the time because I'd already talked to Mr. Frankenfeld. And I'd already given him some ideas. He gave me some ideas. And I didn't want anything to get lost in the translation. So I wanted to meet with Mr. Frankenfeld. So I met with him, and unfortunately, John and his cousin probably couldn't meet. So I met with Mr. Frankenfeld on the 13th of February. And him and his assistant Jack were great. They were fantastic. They understood where I was coming from. My first question was we had to bring to limit traffic or limit weight on our town. So he said the town is the only one who has the authority to do that. So he gave me those ideas. He said we have to sound the local ordinance. He's got to get some other information for him. And Jack was taking notes. He was great. Try to find some towns that had similar issues that we had and see what they did, and we could kind of offer some ideas. So I said, great. So I left that meeting. I came here to meet the supervisor, and he wasn't here. I left my phone because I wanted him to know exactly where I was at. And Mr. Frankenfeld also told me that to be able to go forward with its policy, to go forward with any more research for me, that the supervisor would have to inquire for that and give us okay. So that's why I wanted to be there. I left that meeting 3 down here, left my phone number. I didn't get any callbacks, so I emailed later in the day, still didn't get anything back. And also, because of the way the committee system works here, is that it's almost like everybody's on the committee, which is a newspaper. I contacted everyone by email. I think everyone can verify that here on the board. Then I contacted my email, and later in the day, I actually talked to Kyle, I talked to John. I explained to them what happened and what direction we're looking to go in. I was just waiting for Todd's okay to get the okay to go forward. A couple days later, Gina emailed me. I emailed her back. Told her the same thing. Where we're at, these people willing to help us. All I needed was the okay to go forward. I contacted Mr. Kuzner 8 times in 8 days. The phone numbers, emails. I've got emails here. I've got my phone records here. I've got everything. Everything that I did, everybody I spoke with. To this day, I have not heard from Mr. Cooper. I was one of the board who joined me and asked Mr. Cooper tonight to contact Mr. Frankenfeld and we can move this thing forward. I think the more data we have, the more ideas. ideas we have, the more things, you know, we can work with, the better off we'll be able to handle the situation and take care of this. Or maybe we'll find out that nothing we do. But we don't know if we don't research it. So I was hoping the board tonight would join me as Mr. Kuznick to move forward with that. That's all I have.
Any other committee reports?
No, but can I just say, Mr. Kuznick did address that this evening when he spoke about...
I waited 8 days and got nothing.
I'm sorry. I can't answer for that, but I can tell you... I can tell you that he did respond, and he has spoken with this individual, when the weather breaks, they expect to be doing some studies down here so that we will have further information for that.
Let's see. Highway Department Committee, John Donahue. I believe I should maybe what we have there is a lot. Failure to communicate, perhaps.
I'm not going to deny that.
John, I'm speaking, please. Because the thing is that, you know, I just heard of Bill, this is what kind of set you back a little bit. You told Kyle a couple minutes ago you wouldn't step in this code deal with the fire department because he was on the fire committee. But it's okay to overstep your bounds with me when I'm on the highway committee. And this bothers me because we're not communicating. We're not communicating. I'm trying to get better at it. That's why as soon as I left the meeting, John, I called you. Kyle, we talked. Gina, I got back to you. We have to all communicate. All communicate. And John, like I said a minute ago, I think we should get all the information we can. Mm-hmm. Let me help. Let me go to these people and help and get that. These people were willing to do all kinds of stuff and get more data. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's just I would like more data. I'd be able to follow through a little bit more. That's all. We're like John as a committee person. That's all.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. All right.
Got it.
Any other questions? If not, I'll move on to privilege of the floor. Remind anyone who would like to address the board. You have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and make sure your comments are regarding issues. Mr. Kelly.
Good evening, everyone. Pat Kelly, 169 Brook Road, Manhart, former dairy farmer. A couple things that I would like to bring up as far as the moratorium for solar. You know, the first 6 months, not that nothing did get done, or maybe did, but it's unsure. You know, like last week, we had consultants here able to ask questions. And nobody asked any questions whatsoever. So I'm a little hesitant to understand, and maybe you guys can help me understand as far as the first 6 months, you know, what did get done? You know, what questions were asked, whether it was NYSERDA or Dvorak, or even myself for that matter, different questions that might have been, you know, arising, you know, from the council or the board. The other one is, the questions that are being asked with NYSERDA, who's in charge of steering the ship, if you will, as far as who's asking the questions or what questions need to be asked? Because in the first 6 months, again, I didn't really hear anything back from the board or the council or Orlex, you know. So is there somebody appointed, you know, of NYSERDA, or any other questions there too, as we move forward here, and hopefully this doesn't go the 180 days is what we're trying to avoid here. And again, if there's anything that I can help with, maybe Carla or John or Mr. Kuznir, Mr. Newman, Mr. Hogan, you know, that we can alleviate any other questions there too, so it doesn't take so long. You know, there's also, you know, there's been a lot of changes made in the past, you know, 5 years, Route 9, sewer and water, and now, you know, when I sit through some of these meetings in the last year that I've been here, it's, I don't know if the word's revolutionary, to hear a lot of changes that have been made in a good way, you know, in the town. You know, we have to adapt to our changes, you know, whether it's the world, our town, our cities, and being able to adapt. And I think that we can all get along and still compensate each other as far as the changes that are made in our community, our town, to accommodate, you know, being a large landowner. I don't really, you know, I didn't realize as far as how important it really is to understand what the council does here, you know, and to sit in your meetings and, you know, talk what you do as far as the challenges and, you know, a lot of things that arise, you know, that you have to deal with every day. And you guys spend a lot of time away from your families, and I appreciate it, you know, and hopefully that I can be of some assistance, that we can hope, you know, help steer the ship as far as whatever answers need to be answered. So that's it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Hi. I'm Debbie Lovely. I've been a part of the South Heinrich Lab Bands for 27 years. I'm an advisory committee and all. I just wanted to, we like the declaration, but the figures are wrong. You might want to, we are a non-profit this year for the first time. We have a bookkeeper. And the figures on last year's, how much we raised, how much we raised in total. You just wanted some time to get it up to date. Can we raise more than that?
Yeah, definitely. We want to be as accurate as possible. The numbers that we drew from in previous years were on the website.
Yeah. I don't believe they're right.
We can
just might want to double check.
Yep, we will be more than happy to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have our school liaison look into that immediately upon his return to work tomorrow. Would anyone else like to address the board?
Dominic Thomas, 7 Cedar Lane. I'm here to set the record straight on my 10-month-old request to explore the feasibility of a state-approved partial property tax exemption for disabled and low-income individuals. First, I learned last year I'm not eligible for the exemption, so any elected official simply could have asked me for my motives. It's especially galling that my emails, in-person communications, and pleas for updates over 10 months have been mostly ignored for nearly a year. I'm sorry to say this is what passes for representative government of our own. Second, I vow publicly I will never apply for the exemption, even if income limits change in my favor. Third, this exemption is only for eligible property owners who are undoubtedly hampered financially and holding on to their modest piece of the American dream. Fourth, if this exemption is adopted, I promise to reimburse the town for the loss in tax revenue experienced for the first year of eligibility by the first homeowner to benefit. For instance, if that person's town tax was reduced from $500 to $250, I would submit $250 to town coffers. My proposal must be legally sanctioned by authorities, as I don't want to face moronic corruption, quid pro quo, or bribery accusations. If it's illegal, then I will donate the same amount to a local charity that benefits the disadvantaged. I'm simply astounded at the pure arrogance of Moreau's elected officials who are sworn to represent constituents, whether it be one or 10,000. This board spent more time debating the purchase of coats for transfer station employees than this exemption. Two board members at the previous meeting maintained, without proof, that the exemption would foist an added economic burden on all other town taxpayers. They should read the February 22nd Post-Star article regarding the potential number of beneficiaries, though I'm sure that will just be chalked up to fake news. I wish the tremendous spirit exhibited at the past 42 South High Marathon dances was contagious, so that four board members here could catch the fever. Instead, my mostly benign request somehow over the past 10 months turned malignant by the time it reached the board's ears. The logical conclusion is that four board members don't care about the town's disabled and low-income property owners. I hope those owners return the sentiment at election time.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address?
conflict privilege in court for 1 second. I guess my question is, how are you going to contact Mr. Frankenfeld for that? And if not, why not?
I've already addressed that.
No, you haven't answered the question.
Any other business? I don't need an executive session unless you do, counsel.
I do not.
Anybody else want an executive session?
I don't like that. There was something we discussed in the last executive session. Is there any updates?
I spoke with Ted, and not really.
Okay.
But there's going to be a follow-up tomorrow,
okay,
and I can report back.
And there's no need for executive session tonight.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.